Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to Met Crimes. All right, how we doing, everyone out there?
We're just vibing. We're vibing. We're back,
we're
baby.
Back.
You know who else is back?
Cece
in the pod lab.
She's doing so well.
She would never know she had this massive surgery. She's doing great. Thank you all
for
your support.
Except for her newfound height.
They told us this would happen. So my daughter is like very naturally tall. And much to her chagrin, the scoliosis surgery that she had straightened her spine so much that she has gained like almost 2 additional inches. So now she's basically my height. I don't really know what to do with that. Because I'm not ready.
Okay.
I'm not okay.
You're not okay.
So she's humongous, and I'm glad she's okay, and everybody's great. And we hope that you guys are having an awesome summer so far, and we hope that your 4th, which is coming up this weekend, is super awesome and safe. And please, everybody, be very careful of your fingers. If you're lighting fireworks, make sure you know what you're doing. And drink responsibly and all that good stuff. We love you.
Happy 250th,
yeah,
America.
Buddy. Oh, it's a big one. That's right. Happy birthday, America.
America.
Yes.
I'm so Kate and I are going to be together over the 4th, and I have a hat, Kate, and it says, it's sparkle season.
My God. I have a shirt that says, what the fuck is a kilometer? So you and I will be a beautiful matching pair.
Okay. That's amazing.
I love
Perfect.
This. We have lots of Patreons.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, like, how cool.
Like a good amount. Audrey Hammond, thank you so much. We have Kira Ahern. Hi, Kira. Thank you.
Hey.
We have Danielle Dana. Hi, Danielle. Ow, ow. We have Sherlana Kujer. Hi, Sherlana.
Ooh,
I'm hoping
hello.
I pronounced that right. I apologize if I did not. We have Rachel Burton. Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much.
These people are on fire.
I know. And last and finally, Kelly Hone. Hi, Kelly. Thank you guys
Hey,
all.
Everyone.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the family. We so appreciate your support. Thank you so much. And I have an awesome creature. You ready for this?
Ooh,
are you ready?
What are they? What are they?
You are a hide behind. Have you ever heard of a hide behind?
No, because it's always behind me.
Ah, you're actually not wrong. Okay. So hide behinds are from American lumberjack folklore, which I didn't know existed until 5 minutes ago when I looked this up. So I was today years old when I learned that American lumberjack folklore is a thing. And it is an elusive beast with the impossible ability to hide behind anything when looked directly at, including like something as thin as a blade of grass or even the observer's back. So no one has ever seen one directly, so the exact descriptions vary, but they stalk those lost in the woods and then drag them into its lair. So, you know, it's ferocious and scary and awesome. So that's what you guys are. You're a hide behind. Hell yeah.
I love that. And hence, since no one's actually seen them, why they're part of the mythical creatures.
Exactly. That's why. No one knows what the shit they look like. Who cares? They're awesome. They're awesome.
So we have a Devinism today.
Devinisms are my favorite. Everybody knows this.
Bum, 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 bow. So this Devinism is going to leave you on the edge of your seats because we're going to be pissed, we're going to be sad, and we're going to be left with a lot of unanswered questions. This case does not have an ending yet.
But
we're doing it now because it's been highly requested.
My God, I know what you're talking about because you mentioned that you were maybe going to do this, but you hadn't really decided yet. Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about the Tummy Tuck tragedy.
Oh, this is so sad. I can't even.
Yes.
What I've learned about, and we've gotten tons of requests about this. So I'm actually really psyched to do this deep dive because
this will allow us to maybe put its conclusion in maybe a future headlines episode when
100%.
We kind of know the outcome.
Yep, would love that so much. Yes.
Sure do. So this is very recent, which is, I think, part of why, and because of social media, it's why we've been getting a lot of requests. So the Tummy Tuck tragedy involves the sad, unfortunate death of Rachel Tussey. She, I think partly this case is popular because she was a micro-influencer, I guess you could say.
That's right.
She had over 70,000 followers on TikTok. I think after her death, she even got some more. Her followers grew even after that.
Surprise, that does happen. Yeah.
So she's a middle-aged, midlife mom in her 40s, just, and she kind of, her handle went by the name Midlife Unmuted. And she would just kind of talk about the raw and the real of what is of being a mom in midlife in your 40s, right?
I've looked at some of her content, and it's just like, she is like a ray of sunshine, and she is so relatable. And it, like, that's, I think, her whole kind of shtick, for lack of a better word, is like, I'm just like everybody else, and I'm just kind of getting through this and muddling through this. But she just, well, you could tell that she was one of those ladies, though, that was like this bright light, you know?
Yes. Yes.
To those that knew her and like really loved her. And it just, you know, it's so sad to see a life end
and to
way
a lot of people
early.
Who just followed her. To
yeah.
a lot of people
well,
that
exactly.
just followed her, right? So, so anyway, on her social media platform, she did a lot of videos and talked a lot about her upcoming mommy makeover. So she was having a planned tummy tuck surgery. And so she did a lot of talk about it, her pre-op, what was leading up to it, why her decision for doing this was. And she even had some videos that included her surgeon, Dr. Torque, that was on there to just like show her excitement and everything like that. And she went into her surgery on February 25th of this year. So this
yes,
was
that's
barely
right.
four. This was barely 4 months ago.
This was literally like 5 minutes ago. This is yes. so sad that this happened.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, she really thought that this was going to be a new chapter for her and something that she couldn't wait to have as she, you know, she's going into her late 40s, starting to embrace the menopause phase. Like, this was just something that she shared openly with the camera. She was trusting the process. And she had honestly no way of knowing and also no reason to fear that she would not have come out of this alive.
No, this is something that's very routine now. You know, I see this a lot. I hear about this a lot. And, you know, we're not, you know, stupid. We know that there's risk associated anytime you go under the knife and go under general anesthesia. There's always risk. But, you know,
there are some things that risk is really just so bizarre and
yes,
so rare.
Exactly.
So, and we'll get there, but believe it or not, this was not related to her actual surgery.
That's right.
What have mm-hmm. you. So we'll kind of get there. So, but, you know, to just kind of fully, you know, a lot of you will probably go look her up if you haven't heard of her already, you know, and you'll probably be looking at her TikTok handle, her Instagram handle, and trying to find out who she is. But she was also a mom of three children. And her community really was around her. She was a very generous woman. Her friends described her as selfless, adventurous, and deeply committed to helping others. She organized a lot of donation drives. She delivered supplies after natural disasters. And she used her social media platform to just lift up women and was very pro-woman, pro-midlife, pro-perimenopause, menopause, just embrace who you are and where you're at right now.
I love that so much. And it's so refreshing because there's so many, you know, influencers out there who really don't, you know,
try to stay young. They want to stay as young as possible. And
exactly.
And she's
just trying to live her life, but also is using her platform mm-hmm. to help people, to inform people, and to just spread love. You know, and positivity.
The world needs that. The
yeah.
The world needs that.
Exactly.
You know, we really need that continued positivity and
so
just
much.
Community involvement.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
It's needed. So mm-hmm. she really did, like I said, it wasn't about vanity and she wasn't doing the surgery about vanity either. It was just more about empowering herself and wanting to make her feel good.
Right.
And so she really wanted to.
She wanted to feel like herself again. You know,
yeah,
probably.
And she wanted to share this experience so that other women in their 40s could embrace change, see confidence, not be afraid to live boldly. Your life is not mm-hmm. over. You know,
yeah.
the best is yet to come. All
Absolutely.
Of that.
So, I love that.
Yes. So she goes to have her procedure. So her procedure was done at the Journey Light Surgery Center. And this is in Evandale, Ohio. So she goes to have that at a, it's a planned specific surgery center where many different surgeons are not just employed, but they're also contracted and, you know, they have their own practices and will perform there in their ORs. And she's got a video of herself in that surgery center on the day in her pre-op, you know, talking about her excitement and everything and how she was looking forward to that next chapter. And because we are a medical show, we're going to talk a little bit about what a tummy tuck is. So the formal medical term for a tummy tuck is called abdominoplasty. So it's a surgical procedure that removes excess skin and fat from the abdomen while tightening the abdominal muscles for a flatter, firmer appearance. And so it is considered a plastic surgery procedure. But a lot of times, I think for Rachel as well, she was also along with her tummy tuck, she was having a hernia repair at the same time. So it was like, do something medically necessary while also doing the plastic surgery there as well.
Absolutely.
But there also can be some other things, you know, part of it. So a plastic surgeon will remove the excess skin and fat from the midsection. Sometimes they do liposuction and with this at the same time, taking the fat out from the midsection. And they may also tighten your abdominal muscles. Sometimes there's a condition called diastasis
recti.
I know. I'm like, ah, thank you. I was getting on the stasis. Diastasis recti, and that's where the muscles in the abdomen have become stretched or separated. So they'll also tighten and reattach those muscles as well.
Nice.
The remaining skin is then repositioned to create a smoother, more toned look. Liposuction is sometimes combined with the procedure to enhance the contouring results and remove additional fat deposits. So Rachel was having kind of a combo of the three. She was having the tuck. She was having the excess skin removed with the tuck. She was having a hernia repair, and she was having a bit of liposuction. So there are many different reasons for the procedure. Some people will choose to have this after a pregnancy, a lot of weight loss. You know, that excess skin doesn't just automatically go away or tighten up, as we know.
Can confirm.
Aging or other previous abdominal surgeries that leave a lot of loose skin or some really weak muscles.
Right.
You know, I have a family member that's had a lot of abdominal surgery, you know, mm-hmm. It's so complicated inside what's going on in there, right?
Absolutely.
So sometimes that's a reason too. The procedure can also help correct a protruding belly, improve posture, reduce back pain caused by weak abdominal muscles, enhance overall body confidence. A lot of people do get this approved medically to assist with back pain because the weight of the excess skin that's sitting in the front after significant, you know, hundreds of pound weight loss, you know, you could have 40 pounds of skin just sitting there that's pushing
easily
on your back. So,
yeah. And it can create, like you said, back pain, but also hygiene issues, mm-hmm. like skin mm-hmm. irritation. You know, a lot of times, mm-hmm. if it's that bad, many insurance companies will approve it,
yes.
like you said.
Especially if you have medical records that go back several long time that this is a
right.
chronic thing related to this. So
yes.
insurance companies will cover it. Let's see. So there are a few different types. There's a full complete tummy tuck, which involves a longer incision across the lower abdomen to remove more skin and tighten the muscles. There's a mini tummy tuck, which is less invasive and targets the area below the navel. And then there's an extended or modified, which addresses additional areas such as the flanks, which is on the sides, and can be used for more like comprehensive contouring of the body. So if you've got not only in the front, but on the sides. Benefits, like we said, flattens and firms the abdomen, tightens weakened or separated abdominal muscles, removes the excess skin. It can improve posture and reduce discomfort, enhances the fit of clothing and overall body aesthetics. It is not a weight loss procedure. It's not done for people to lose weight because losing that much fat all at one time can do a lot of like electrolyte imbalances and actually cause some issues. It's truly just something for the extra skin that is there when all the fat is removed. And, you know, like we said, you know, there are complications to every surgery, but literally I don't even really have any complications listed here because the type of complications that would happen with this type of surgery because of how mild it is are pretty rare. It would have to be a gross error.
Right.
Like you know, a cut to the, you know, with the hernia repair, right? An unintentional cut to the intestines.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Abdominal wall, something. It would have to be a significantly gross error. There's not generic complications that can just happen.
Yes.
Outside of routine post-op infection. That's really probably the biggest if you were to have one. So that's that. And so we're kind of probably thinking, well, then how did something that doesn't even really have its own specific complications result in a death, right? So where everything kind of went wrong is after the surgery. So believe it or not, her surgeon, Dr. Torque, actually saw her husband. So the surgery was about 9 hours long. Performing all three of those things because it was the tummy tuck, hernia repair, and some liposuction. So
that
from start to finish, it was extensive. Yes.
Long procedure.
And everything goes as planned. Minimal blood loss. Everything was smooth. Her respiratory status was fine during the whole thing and all was well. The surgeon actually ran into her husband on the way out as he was leaving for the day, said that everything did beautiful. She's waking up, no complications, and she should be able to go home tomorrow. They were planning on keeping her overnight. And so when, you know, her husband was going in to see her in the PACU, the post anesthesia care unit, when he got the call that she was awake and he could go in and see her. And it's at that moment that things kind of take a turn.
Okay.
So according to her husband, now remember, a lot of this, I'm going to say, is alleged,
yes,
not just to specifically one person. This
no
happened literally
convicted.
4 months ago, right? And so when we've talked about cases that we have results, we're going years. So this family is still grieving. This is so sudden. And a lot of this right now is taken from some suits that have been filed with documents that are in the suit, but also a lot of what's been posted from the family. So all of it is alleged until, you know, proven otherwise. So we'll go from there. But according to her husband, Jeremy, he later ended up sharing the story of what happened on her TikTok page. And it was watched over 2 million times. So he talks about how he got to see his wife in the recovery room. She said hi, knew he was there. She was still kind of waking up a little bit, but knew he was there holding his hand. The nurse came in and asked how her pain level was. The nurse asked how her pain level was because she just gave her pain medication. And Rachel had said that it was fine, you know, nothing too crazy. And then within a few minutes, her husband watched like the life come out of her. Her face went pale. She became very unresponsive and they could not wake her up. They're shouting at her, Rachel, wake up. The nurse is shouting at her, wake up. They do the sternal rub to try to wake her up, and she's not responding to anything.
This is terrifying.
So her husband had witnessed the moment that she'd become unresponsive, and his issues were not just that she's unresponsive, but also the lack of responsiveness from the surgery center itself.
Oh.
So the nurse said, okay, I'm just going to go get her some oxygen. And so she walks and goes to get her some oxygen. Somebody else said, do you need any help? No, I'm okay right now. Like, there's no, like,
no urgency
response,
yeah,
right? Like, oh my gosh, something's happening. They do try to administer Narcan, but it doesn't work. They give her oxygen, and the husband states that he can see when he's putting the oxygen on her and the nurse is pumping it, you know, pumping the Ambu, what I can only assume at this point is an Ambu bag, because he talks about pumping the bag.
Okay.
You know, he said he can see that there's not a closed seal around her mouth. Like, he...
Why? So it wasn't just, I'm going to go get her some oxygen. It was like, I'm now going to mechanically ventilate her, but the nurse didn't feel the need to call
have
for
help.
Any sort
exactly.
of support.
There's no, correct.
Like, applying a little nasal cannula, like, I, you know, that I,
Right.
I can do that independently for now.
She's doing a bag. She's doing a bag.
If you are breathing for someone, something is very wrong. You need help, ma'am.
Yes, correct.
That's awful.
And the next part is so astounding, too. And I encourage you all, if you haven't heard it, to listen to it. So I actually listened to the 911 call this morning. So again, this is a surgery center.
Yes.
So they have a pretty established PACU. Now, however, this is the end of the day, so there wasn't a lot of people around. A lot of their surgeries are day surgeries,
right?
And people leave, so and the staff does get reduced, but they do have staff that are prepared to stay there overnight.
Yeah,
before the, for like the folks were... that do have to have a one night observation and then they go home. There was pretty bleak staff. There was a few staff members, but again, not a ton. I don't have record or documents right now on what their rapid response policies are and what they should be, right? I don't have record of that right now. Again, things are still being investigated. But it's definitely alarming when you listen to that 911 call. And I'm a person who's called 911 hundreds of times in my career.
Yes.
And even in the situations, for example, I know someone's passed away. Right. But I still have to do my due diligence and call 911. And I have people with the patient. Right. I have people with the patient. And there is still a sense of urgency in your voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, this 911 call wasn't placed for minutes. This was like not something that was done instantly or, hey, while I'm bagging her, can you call 911?
Right.
Right there. And when you listen to the nurse's voice, literally, it says, hi, so I have a patient who just had surgery and she's currently not responsive.
Oh my God.
That is literally the tone in the voice for the nurse that is calling 911 for assistance.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going to hold your hand while I say this.
The way she says surgery is very casual, just like conversation with your girlfriend type. I can't imagine it. It literally, she's like, hi, so I work at Journey Life, you know, Surgery Center, and I have a patient who just had surgery, and she's not waking up. And it was like, no shit. Like, have a sense of urgency to your voice and say, hey, I need paramedics here now. I have a woman who's currently being bagged and not breathing, and it's been however many minutes, and she's tanking fast.
Why is she calling like she wants to, like, make
a
credit card payment or...
Right.
Or, yes, or put in a pizza order. Like,
like it's her Starbucks? Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so bad,
The worst part is the 911 dispatcher asked the nurse if she needed any medical support over the phone while she was waiting for paramedics to arrive.
Let me guess. She said no.
No, I think I'm okay. Thank you. Oh.
You need 911 to come, but you're okay. That makes so much fucking sense.
Yeah.
Listen, I also have a complex where I have a hard time asking for help in all aspects of my life, except
when it comes to someone else's life.
With my job, when I am among colleagues and friends and trusted superiors, I have never in my life hesitated to ask for help if I am unsure of what's going on, if I just have a bad feeling, if I just need another set of eyes. Guys, trust your gut. If something is not going right, there are resources around you. I guarantee you are not alone. And you know what? Maybe you guys will all fuck up together at the end of the day, but at least you'll have...
You
reached out for help.
And you also accepted help when it was offered.
Yes, yes. Will I ask my husband for help moving a king-size bed across my bedroom? Never in a million years. I will do it by myself.
Yes.
But if I'm not sure what's going on with a patient, you best believe I am hauling somebody smarter than me into the room with me because I have that option and I can do that. And I'm not playing with somebody else's life.
Correct.
This is
sad.
This is so sad, guys.
It's
We're
awful.
Better than this. We are.
It's awful.
We as nurses are better than this. I promise.
So, and the worst part about it is the 911 call was placed because of by Dr. Torque's instructions. And the thing is, I already told you that he left. Mm-hmm. So he was leaving. He was gone. Done for the day. His patient was stable. All was good. Check on her tomorrow, right? Yeah. Like all things that surgeons do and should be able to do. And so he was called by the staff. And the husband was even just like, get the doctor back here, right? Like, I just saw him out in the hallway. Get the doctor back here. So he was called back by the staff, and he comes in, and he was the one that said, you need to call 911.
Yes.
We need to get her out of here, right? Like,
oh my God.
So he's the one putting the aggressive interventions in, and that's when, you know, that whole said phone call takes place.
So it didn't even occur to the nurse to call 911. When she was bagging somebody.
The ball didn't get rolling until Dr. Torx said it. So she was transported via 911 to Bethesda North Hospital. And it's here where they diagnose her with an anoxic brain injury. And she had gone over 6 minutes without oxygen. Now, 6 minutes without oxygen is a very long time.
It is.
6 minutes without oxygen while currently being in a healthcare setting where someone was basically right there with you, next to you the whole time.
Yeah.
Is, I'm going to say it, negligent.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Yeah, totally. It's unheard of and outrageous, right? Because at least, at a minimum, if we cannot revive her, that brain is getting oxygen, right?
Yes.
Like, if this
in
was a cardiac
scenarios,
event that made her go down, who knows?
Maybe,
you know?
Sure.
But, yes.
In most scenarios
you are, I mean, I don't know, what is a generic ratio for a PACU? I know it's small because they watch those people
small.
In that phase very closely, right? Like
I
one
think
to two, maybe? It's
the
very
immediate
small.
Recovery period, I think, is one-on-one until they graduate and wake up.
Correct.
And then you spread a little bit thinner.
And
but,
it was
I
very
mean,
clear by the physician when I watched an interview from the surgeon, and it was very clear that she was still in phase one of recovery. So she was that waking up. Yes.
Yep.
Still being watched by anesthesiologists as well, like as she's coming out. She's not like awake for long periods of time at this point. So it was here that doctors had told her husband that she was brain dead.
Oh,
and
God.
His words were, to me, it looks like incompetency. Somebody dropped the ball and killed my wife. Those were his words on the video. She did not die. Instantly, she was pronounced brain dead, and they had her on life support until early March. Her husband had moved her to hospice care, and they had made the decision to remove her from life support, and she died on March 17th. So this is probably 2.5-3 weeks after the surgery. And then this is, you know, when everything just kind of began. You know, the husband makes that video when he's announcing
and then
that
it was
she's
everywhere.
Brain dead. And then it was everywhere for sure. Like I said, it was viewed over 2 million times. So the family does have an attorney, Bernie Lane, and he has announced that, you know, she had suffered a permanent anoxic brain injury. And he has vowed that he's going to investigate the circumstances surrounding her care. And that investigation, I don't have a ton of details because it is still ongoing. There are multiple questions that are had. Questions include, was the facility properly staffed? What was their staffing requirements? We need to know that. Were emergency protocols followed? To me, it certainly does not sound it.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, to me, you have someone post anesthesia like that and they go unresponsive, you push the code button, right?
That was not done.
You know, there's a huge concern in the timeline from when she first went unresponsive to when she actually started receiving effective intervention.
Yes.
And I say effective, not even just, oh, we did something about it. I put poorly sealed oxygen on her while I'm bagging
her. Yeah, like bag her without getting a seal and not escalating your concerns fast.
God, that's so upsetting. And then there's the question about the pain medication. Was that administered appropriately? So she was given fentanyl and Dilaudid, and I'll get you the doses in a minute on what she was given. But that is a big scrutiny that is part of this investigation. And there's a lot of there's some conflicting information for that. And then again, why did she go 6 minutes without oxygen? That was a huge that led to the actual brain injury and ultimately her death. The surgeon stated publicly, and I've watched that video, that the operation itself was successful and completed without complications. And he was placing the responsibility for monitoring her on the facility staff.
Yes. You should be able to trust that. I mean, if somebody stops breathing and you can't get an effective seal, that's okay. Go get somebody to help you and call the anesthesiologist to get in there and get this woman an airway now.
Correct. Again, all part of that rapid response.
Yeah.
What protocols were there and what was and wasn't followed.
Yeah.
So obviously in the grief there's been a GoFundMe that was created. The last I saw it had raised over $35,000.
Good.
Her story is definitely a tragedy. There, a lot of people are sharing how Rachel had inspired them by whether it was a social media following or whether it was, you know, in her community where she had a lot of compassion and purpose. But there's been a lot right now in the media and a lawsuit has been filed. So I want to kind of get to that for a second. So let's see. It's important to state that Journey Light and the Associated Anesthesiologists of Springfield, so that's the contracted company that works for this surgery center, is the Associated Anesthesiologists of Springfield. They currently have not publicly confirmed any allegations. The surgery center has stated that the drugs that were given were baby doses and that Narcan had no effect, while also claiming her sudden unresponsiveness was not opioid related. I will say the unfortunate part is that there was no autopsy. I guess it was offered, but declined. So that part is unfortunate. That could definitely have helped confirm some of this, right?
Yes,
or was
yes.
it a different type of event, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I do think devil's advocate, right? I do think that if it was a medication overdose, Narcan should have worked, especially if it was given right away. It should have, but not again, 100%.
Right.
So was it more a cardiac thing, right?
It could have been, the big risk factors would be like a PE, right?
Right.
That would be like the big thing that I would be concerned about. But, you know, Narcan, if you give one dose and it doesn't work, you can give a second dose.
Correct.
You know, it might just not have been enough, too, if they gave up after the one dose.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. So currently right now, there's been a civil lawsuit just happened in April. So on April 7th of this year, Dr. Shay Reihart Tork, Dr. Tork, who was the plastic surgeon, he has filed a civil complaint in Hamilton County. And this is against Journey Light and the Associated Anesthesiologist. So he's suing them, claiming that because of the company's lack of care that led to the death of the patient.
So this is the surgeon who is suing the...
Correct. So this is the surgeon who is suing the surgery center and the contracted anesthesiology company.
Got it. Okay.
So in the suit, he claims that he performed a nearly 9-hour surgery on Rachel, saying it went smoothly, minimal blood loss, and required very low doses of pain medication throughout the procedure. So he alleges that two of the nurses at the surgery center administered 150 micrograms of fentanyl.
Whoa.
And 0.5 milligrams of Dilaudid. And he's saying that those are the doses that led to her fatal overdose.
150 milligrams each or a total of 150 milligrams of fentanyl? Do you know?
A total of 150 micrograms of fentanyl and 0.5 milligram of Dilaudid.
Got it. Okay.
So I don't know what your thoughts are. He also states that those doses are higher doses that she received during the entire surgery, the entire procedure.
That's a lot together. It is a lot given together. Absolutely.
So, let's see. Journey Life has responded to the suit within the standard, saying right now to respond. They haven't done any confirmations of anything. All they have stated is that their staff acted within the standard of care and that state auditors found no wrongdoing and that the family refused an autopsy that could have determined the cause of death.
Yes.
So that could be why there has been no arrests right now.
Right.
There have been no arrests. So it's not like we can't, you know, because part of me, number one, as much as I hate it, that we are in the nature now of charging nurses when they make mistakes.
I know.
As much as I hate it, that is where the world is turning. You do something negligent that leads to malpractice, that, you know, that's criminal, right? That
exactly.
leads to a death. Hello, redondavant, right?
Yes.
So that is the world that we're living in. So nobody has been arrested yet. I don't know if they will, but this is still part of all of those unanswered questions that we have.
The thing that really sucks is, like you said about the autopsy, I totally understand not wanting to go down that road for your wife, who you've watched for weeks lie helpless and way over medicalized mm-hmm. in a ICU bed, and uh-huh. then transition to a hospice. You know, you just want rest for her, and you just want peace. And I get not
and maybe the husband
that.
didn't want to do it because he was there, like, and he witnessed
yeah.
exactly everything that happened in the
and
moments,
he
right?
Feels
so maybe
like he
that's
knows
where
exactly
he's just
what
like,
it is. Yeah.
We don't need to, you know, pardon my French, but cut her up, right?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
determine that, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I get that completely.
Yeah.
I really do. It's just is too bad for you know, the sake of trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, to uh-huh. rule out those other big things that could have been contributing factors. But, uh-huh. you know, it's just so sad.
A legal representative for the surgery center has stated in a quote, "It is unfortunate and somewhat shocking that Dr. Tork claims to be the victim here due to a victim apparently due to the loss of his reputation in a case where the Tussie family tragically lost Rachel." So he's saying that, you know, the victim here is Rachel, but the surgery center is like, you know, Dr. Tork is acting like a victim. But quite honestly, I thought his answers are completely appropriate. This is really the first time, you know, we've talked about hundreds of doctors on these things, right?
Yeah.
And they're always so arrogant and so, you know, whatever. And I did nothing wrong and all that stuff. And while he's stating the surgery was flawless, it truly was. She was stable. There were no witnesses in the OR saying that he did anything, right, that was outside of the norm, that was outside of all of that. And this man was emotional. This man, and that was the thing. Usually when we have these surgeons that are saying, I did nothing wrong, right? They're arrogant.
It's
right?
all ego-driven, but
yes,
it sounds like
this man is emotional, and he feels, it's quoted that he says, like, she was taken from me. My patient was taken
yes.
from me, and I
he
did everything
left
I
her
could.
Yes. Under the care of the PACU nurses who are supposed to be specialized in recovering post-anesthesia patients. And he trusted that they would honor that standard of care. And I mean, again, everything is alleged here. I'm not accusing, but uh-huh. just based on her husband's recollections and the things that you'd stated in the lawsuit, it sounds like, you know, there was a lot of missteps here, and it left a lot of unanswered questions, as you said.
Yep. So his lawsuit does have a few claims in it that, again, alleged, but it claims that the nurses did not call 911 until 4 minutes after telling Dr. Tork that they had called 911. So they're also telling the surgeon that they had made the call when really it hadn't even been made yet. Like I said, he's the one that's like, we're getting the ball rolling. It also alleges that one of the nurses improperly used a bag mask, which goes with
yes.
what the husband was saying,
yeah.
leading Tussie to go without oxygen to her brain for 6 minutes. Let's see. So Tork is also alleging that the surgery center has a history of this kind of behavior with, quote unquote, over-sedating patients, and that one of the nurses had previously been fired for incompetence, but was later rehired, and another employee was fired for raising concerns about the nurse. We've heard
Whoa.
Those situations before.
Yep, sure
so
have.
Again, right now it is an alleged claim.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to down the line when we can do a follow-up. Was
Absolutely.
This factual? What do, you know, separate investigators have for this, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is also alleging that the anesthesia care team left the surgery center during the post-anesthesia care, which was violating the Ohio Administrative Code.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, she was still in that phase one, and part of those policies is that she's supposed to still be monitored by the anesthesia care team,
right.
and they were not there.
That's not good, man. That is just...
The lawsuit also alleges that the surgery center tried to cover up what happened by altering records, hiding the identity of the nurse involved, and pressuring Tork to change his notes. So a lot of what they're saying that's disputed is some of the blanket orders that they have, you know, and sometimes things that are routine, they have blanket orders. Like, here's things that you do, protocols in phase one, phase two, and those things. And what they're saying was changed was the blanket orders for the pain medication.
Oh.
Because Tork is saying that those were not the doses that are ordered in phase one. But he's alleging and claiming that they have altered the blanket forms to match so that it doesn't look like the nurse made a mistake, that those were the orders that were in phase one.
So do they think the nurse went in and changed the orders to make nobody it reflect?
Nobody has said whether or not it's the surgery center or the nurse. But the family, because there is this alleged that they have that they are doctoring medical records and that they are covering things up, the family has filed a temporary restraining order to prevent the destruction, fabrication, or deletion of evidence.
Good.
So there started to be a claim right there that are they trying to do a cover up and all of that. So the potential is there that somebody might have made the change.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we just don't know yet.
Right, right. Oh, man.
Journey Light, the only thing that they have to say is that they've denied any record tampering or cover up and that any allegations that they have attempted to do so are false and defamatory. Tork is demanding that this lawsuit go to trial with those named that are in the lawsuit. He's not looking for, he is seeking compensatory and punitive damages, but he wants to set a trial and not a settlement.
Wow. He's got to be an intelligent man, right? He knows that all of his shit is going to get aired right out. His entire life, if this goes to trial, is going to be on that clothesline for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. So,
and
to
me, with this lawsuit, he's also finished. And then I'll say my
that's
part.
Okay. That tells me that he genuinely does not feel like he has anything to hide. You know,
that goes along with what I was going to say, because this lawsuit is also making it even bigger than it already was. It was already a big deal. This lawsuit's making it bigger. More information's going to come out about his history, not only the surgeries. It's going to come out about his history. They're going to have medical experts attesting to whether or not he did everything appropriately. They're going to pull him apart.
And
you know
he's
that.
Still saying,
and
bring
he's
this
still
to
like,
trial.
I want to do it. Yep. Correct.
He knows.
We don't see that. We don't
no,
see that
that's
on
what
this
I'm saying.
Show.
That's
exactly.
what I'm saying.
That's he's... not what we see.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. Wow.
Yep. So this is like the first time that, I mean, not the first time. We obviously have good physicians out there. There are good people out in the world.
There are.
However, ones that usually land on our show, this is the first time that the surgeon is like, no, no, we need to take a stand and take the center down, essentially. Like, this is on them. What happened is not okay, and we're taking a stand.
Absolutely.
Right? If he really...
Yeah, he would do exactly what these bastards do every time. We've seen it a million times again. He would pick up his shit and move, go get licensed in another
and
state.
And to be honest, he is trying to clear his name a little bit, too. There is some of that, because his reputation has taken a toll.
Of
right?
course.
When people hear tummy tuck tragedy,
that's
initially,
a bad outcome.
Initially, it is, oh, what did they do in the surgery?
How do you botch
a tummy tuck, right?
At the end of the day, his name is on the very tippy top of her medical record, and he knows
so
it.
So he has had a reputational impact. So there is some of that in there that he's trying to rebuild, but mostly he's trying to take on the center and state what happened here is inexcusable and it needs to not happen again. So... there are still a lot of things that are going to come up in the dispute. You know, unfortunately, the only cause of death that we have right now is anoxic brain injury. You know, we don't know what led to that, right? So, like, you know, I'm not so sure there. You know, there's stuff about evidence handling that still needs to be answered. And, you know, again, all this stuff with reputation and whatnot. So there's a lot that still needs to be uncovered. But it's pretty intense. It's preventable.
Yep.
It's preventable.
Sounds
maybe
like
if her
it.
Maybe if her death, like you said, a PE happens fast and is deadly, right?
Yes.
It very well can be deadly if not caught immediately and handled appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we know that the facts are there right now that she had to be on life support because of not receiving oxygen. And the staff, we know right now that everything is aligning to allege to prove that the staff did not follow protocol.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
We have not seen what their protocol is, but you and I both know there's a protocol in there. And
oh, yeah.
based on what we're hearing was done, it was not followed.
Yeah.
Right.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'd like to say stay tuned for part two, but that could be a year from now.
Yeah.
So
who knows? Well, we'll keep you guys posted. When we hear something, you'll know something. We'll make sure she's on the docket for headlines and we'll follow it. This is just so sad for her and
her family.
You know,
it's awful
for sure.
Her husband was giving all the details. You know, he was right there to witness the whole thing, and it's just tragic.
I mean, he's doing what he can to advocate for his late wife, who now does not have the opportunity to advocate for herself. So I commend him for
and for his three children.
God, that's so sad that she was taken from this earth way too soon, way before her time, because this is the impact we have as medical workers, guys. We have the opportunity and we have the power to change someone's life for the better or the worst sometimes. And do not take that responsibility lightly, because it's when people start getting aloof that this shit is the shit that happens. And it is so bad when it does. It really is.
All right, guys. Well,
thanks for
bumming
us
listening.
Out.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you for listening. And I can't wait to hear an update on this. I'm going to be itching for an update. This is just so upsetting and sad.
You can continue to listen and follow us by searching Med Crimes on Facebook. What has it been, a millennial since I've done this? What?
How are you doing? Okay. You can also find us on YouTube at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can check us out on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/MedCrimesPodcast. It's fun there. Come find us.
Hey. You want to send us any crazy stories, suggestions, ideas? You can check us out at MedCrimes@gmail.com.
Nice catch. You really did. I saw that.
MedCrimes@gmail.com.
I felt it in my soul.
I am not okay.
You are not okay. Stay safe out there, guys.
Toodles.
Bye.